Greetings in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The topic for our meditation is Waiting for the Day of God, taken from 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 10 to 13. Peter is reminding the Christians that human history has its consummation in the second coming of Christ. Do not be hoodwinked by the false teachers and the scoffers to think that there is no judgment. Christ will not come again because he hasn't. And so we can do what we want. We can enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Remember we said earlier in the message from verses 1 to 3 of chapter 3 that in the light of the second coming of Christ, we are to hold fast to the truth because Christ's coming is sure. We are to reject the enticement of mockers and beware of the leaven of scoffers. And we are to prepare to escape from this coming judgment. We saw how Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house. How is it that Noah was able to see beyond the peace that there is a judgment coming? Well, it is the word of God. God's word gives to us and tells us what the future will be. And with this special revelation that God gives to us, we are equipped with the truth, with the knowledge of the future. And that is strength in our hand. How are we going to use that knowledge to our profit? Well, Noah used it for the profit of his family. I believe he shared the gospel with them, and all his family was saved. The flood came. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, Peter wants us to be aware that history is not as the unbelieving historians would call it, a meaningless, lawless, and shapeless sequence of events. This is not history, but God controls history. And the key to understanding history is to know this fact of sin, that God created man, and that God had made him perfect and placed him in a perfect world. But man rebelled against God. Man sinned against God. And he was opposed to the mind, to the purpose, and to the will of God. And the Bible tells us that all the troubles and all the problems that have arisen in this world is a result of sin. We need to see things in perspective. And when we have, you realize that life comes into perspective. And so, as a result of sin, God cursed the ground. And as a result of sin, man has to earn his bread by the sweat of his brow. Thorns and thistles will grow to thwart man's effort. The Bible tells us that history is a chronology of salvation. It is a history of God intervening in human lives. And God gave a promise. He says, he calls Abraham, one man, and this man can turn him into a nation, a national witness among nations. And in the fullness of time, Christ came. And that was the climax of human history. The history of mankind seen through the eyes of God. There is a BC and there's an AD. BC, before Christ. And AD, Anno Domini, the year of the Lord. And We know of the events that lead to Christ's death on the cross. It is a fact. It is according to the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God. And God's plan of redemption is being worked out. Now, as we are speaking here, it is going on, it's evolving, and God is bringing it to pass. And the history of salvation shows us clearly that there is a purpose. God is moving in human lives, in history. And Peter is reminding us here in our text that there is an ultimate and final consummation. There is an end. There is an end point to all these things, you see. Time is running out for Peter. He is at the close of his life, and he is at the close of this epistle. And there is a burden in his heart he wants to discharge to the people, and he had to give that punchline, that ultimate truth that would undergird and hold the believers together when he is not there anymore. What will hold them? What will give them strength to live their life? Well, it is this doctrine of the second coming of Christ. The purpose was to motivate his hearers toward godly living. His message is simple. He's telling us that Christ will return in frightening judgment and that we must live in holiness in the light of that day of judgment. And this is the message of Peter to his hearers from verses 10 to 13. As he draws to the end of his life, he speaks forth these last words. The burdens that is in his heart for the people of God. And he wants us to be aware of three things while waiting for the day of God. Living in the light of that day, what must Christians do? Three thoughts to provoke us to love and good works. First, in verse 10, the Christian's woe. And from verse 11 to 12, the Christian's work. And in verse 14, the Christian's wealth. Verse 10, the Christian's woe. The first thought we want to meditate on is that we must not be caught off guard. Peter says, but the day of the Lord will come as the thief in the night. He's giving a warning here. He tells us that not to live our life as if there is no judgment. Woe unto us if we think that we can enjoy sin for a season. We sin, then we repent. Then we sin again. Then we repent. Is this the kind of Christian life, humdrum Christian life that we want to lead? This is not the kind of Christian life that Peter wants the believers to live. Peter warns us that this world and the works therein shall be burned up. And that's the key word in verse 10. The earth, right at the end, and the earth also, and the works that are therein shall be burned up. There is little profit in your labor under the sun. They are vanity, vanity of vanities, as Solomon would tell us in the book of Ecclesiastes. Why did he write the book of Ecclesiastes? So he writes it at his old age, at the end of his life, in order to give perspective concerning life, so that we may be able to have wisdom to live this life without having to go through the follies of life. So he detailed for us the follies, the vanities of life. He tells us he built gardens, he built buildings, he does all the things that a king vested with the world's wealth would do. And this was what he did. And he says, as he concluded at the end of his life, he says that it is unprofitable. It is a vexation of spirit. Our lives shall be cut off suddenly. And then what? The Bible says, and the Bible warns us, and it is important to remind ourselves, as it is appointed unto men once to die, afterwards judgment. So the reality of life is experienced at the Christian wake, when we go to a funeral, and not at Orchard Road. Let us not live in this life of illusion. Peter is warning us, do not be caught off guard. That's what it means in verse 10, with the adversative, but. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. It comes suddenly, without warning. Christ's coming will be unexpected, and it will be disastrous for all who are unprepared. He's not talking here to unbelievers. He's speaking to Christians. That this truth may not overtake them, that they might not neglect it to their eternal loss. And the Lord Jesus himself gave these final words in Luke chapter 17. Will you turn with me there? Luke chapter 17, verse 26. Well, Peter is adopting our Lord's method. Our Lord said in Luke 17:26, and as it was in the days of Noah, so it shall be in the days of the Son of Man. They did eat, and they drank, and they married wives, and they are given in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark, and the flood came and destroyed them all. How clear are those words? But does it impress upon our hearts to cause a change in our life? Does it impact our hearts so much so that we realize that what we are doing, well, has no profit, and we evaluate our life again? Verse 28, likewise also, it was in the days of Lot. They did eat, and they drank, and they bought, and they sold, and they planted, and they builded. Was there profit in all this work? Well, Jesus says this, but the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. This is the warning that is given to us. Don't be caught off guard. Christ will come as a thief in the night. Verse 32, remember Lot's wife. Lot's wife lingered on in Sodom. There were those attractions in Sodom that she could not take her heart off. And God judged her. Verse 33, whosoever shall seek to save his life shall lose it, and whosoever shall lose his life shall preserve it. Well, the day will come when God will make a choice. There will be a judgment. There will be a separation. Two women shall be grinding together. One shall be taken, the other left. Two men shall be left in the field, the one taken and the other left. The events leading up to the destruction of the earth, the world and creation are a series of events beginning with the rapture, the seven-year tribulation, the millennium, followed by the great white throne judgment, and the final destruction, where God will create or recreate the new heavens and the new earth. The purpose of Peter's writing is not for the saints to battle over the final points of prophetic interpretation. All true Christians believe that Christ is coming again. They may differ in their views of when certain promised events will occur, but they all agreed that he is returning as his promise, and this earth is going to be judged by fire. And so, Peter is collapsing the entire eschatological events into a one single statement, the judgment at the end. And he tells us that this is something that we need to watch out for. This is something that we need to live in the light of that coming judgment. But for the believer, this is the blessed hope, where he will see his Savior again, where the Lord, his Lord, would reward him for serving him, for walking with him. And he tells us, lest we develop a cold heart. And Jesus says, in the last days, iniquity shall abound, and the heart of many shall wax cold. And a worldly attitude, like Lot, he would go into Sodom. Well, he wanted a profit from the businesses in Sodom. Did he, at the end, gain any profit? No profit for him. What about Abraham, his uncle? His uncle separated himself. And he saw the destruction coming, and God told him that Sodom and Gomorrah is going to be judged. And what was Abraham doing? He was praying for the souls in Sodom, that God may be merciful. He prayed for Lot, his nephew, and the family. Not all were saved. But Abraham had the right perspective, you see. And God wants us to also live that life of separation. A cold heart, a worldly attitude, and an unfaithful life. And if you're not careful, we can also become one of the scoffers. Laugh at the promise of Christ coming. Jesus says, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And so what are we to do? Verse 10 tells us, we are to be watching. Matthew chapter 24, verses 42 to 44. It's an interpretation, or is what Peter did when he learned from his Lord, and he gave it to us in that verse 10. Matthew chapter 24, verses 42 to 44. It says, watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come. But know this, that if the good man of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. What does it mean to us? Well, if I may interpret this for us, it is that we do not know the day when God will stop our hearts from breathing, from moving. That will be the day of consummation for each one of us. Would it be a day of regret? Or will it be a day of glory? Peter is encouraging and motivating the Christians. Let it be a day of glory. And therefore, we have to prepare ourselves and be ready for that day. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. No man can serve two masters. For either he hates the one and loves the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. How are you building your life? Well, Jesus warns his disciples that all these works of this earth under the sun, these works of men, of proud men, will be burned up. Have you read through the book of Revelation? When you have read through the book of Revelation, how does it speak to you? Do you feel disturbed by the judgment to come? Well, if we are living in the light of the day, then we must realize that it is a fearsome thing when God will judge this world. You look at this world around us, the sky, the mountains, these are great monuments of God's creation. And when judgment will come, God will overturn all these things. I cannot imagine that carnage, that destruction that is going to come. And therefore, the message that Peter wants to give to God's people lovingly is to wake up from our spiritual slumber, to realize that the day is at hand. Let us not be like Cain. Remember, in the book of Genesis, Genesis chapter 4, Genesis chapter 5, in chapter 4, is detailed for us the ungodly line. And you see how they built cities. Cain built a city and named it after his son Enoch. And how they lived a life of violence and tragedy. Well, that is the kind of life that led up to the flood in Genesis 6, where the hearts of men were evil continually. But what about Genesis 5? There is the other Enoch. Remember? The good Enoch. What happened to him? Well, the Lord tells us that he was translated. God took him to heaven. Well, we could be the generation when our Lord would return, two would be in the field, and one would be raptured. And in the light of all these events, these things to come, how are we living our lives? That's the question that we want to ask ourselves. So this first thought instructs us to the Christian's woe. If he knew not the Lord's will and is not prepared. Our Lord said these words to Peter. He was there to listen in Luke chapter 12. verse 41. Let's turn there. Luke 42, verse 41. Then Peter said unto him, Lord, speakest thou this parable unto us or unto all? Peter was there when our Lord warns his disciples to watch. Verse 42 is the pertinent lesson. Watch therefore, for ye know not. Verse 42 of Luke chapter 12. The Lord said, who then is that faithful and wise steward whom his Lord shall make ruler over his household to give them their portion of meat in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Of a truth I say unto you, that he will make him a ruler over all that he hath. Has God not entrusted to us souls for our care, our family, our wife, our children, our spouses, our friends, our colleagues? These are the people whom God has entrusted to us, and he wants us to be a good steward for him. But if that servant say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to beat men servants and maidens, and to eat and drink, and to be drunken, the Lord of that servant will come in a day when he looketh not for him, at an hour when he is not aware, and will cut him asunder, and will appoint him his portion with the unbelievers. Day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. And Peter learned his lesson well when our Lord gave those words. He marveled over what our Lord said, and he did something with his life. Verse 47. And that servant which knew his Lord's will and prepared not himself, neither did according to his will, shall be bitten with many stripes. But he that knew not and did commit things worthy of stripes shall be bitten with few stripes. Well, we are of the know. We are in the knowledge of the truth that indeed there is a time of judgment that will come, and that how we live will be in the light of that judgment to come. And so Peter heard these words that our Lord gave. For whomsoever much is given, of him shall be much required. And to whom men have committed much, of him they will ask the more. I'm come to send fire on the earth. And what will I, if it be already kindled? When the truth of God's word brings a conviction in our hearts, we do not have to wait for the day when the fire and brimstone start falling down before we start acting. We would be convicted to think about our lives and the things we are doing now. We have to give account one day how we have lived our lives. The Christian's woe, verse 10. Next, the Christian's work, verses 11 and 12. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, knowing that the tall buildings that men build will be destroyed. I make a Google search of the tallest building in the world. Tallest building is now in Dubai. It was in the United States for a long time. Tallest human structure. And I search also the tallest building in Singapore. It gives a whole list of buildings. What are we doing with our lives? Are we building buildings that is going to be ultimately destroyed? The Christian's work. These buildings but have a temporal value. We must re-evaluate every earthbound ambition. So verse 11 and 12, Peter tells us what we must do. Having known the truth, we don't want to receive the Lord's woe. We want to receive the Lord's reward. The Lord's blessing. And so what must we do? What kind of works will stand the fire of destruction that is to come? How can we live our lives in the light of that coming destruction? Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? These words here are for the Christians. The ungodly will be destroyed. But for the Christian, how ought we to live our lives? Peter says our lives need to be characterized by godliness and holiness. Then we can escape the judgment of God to come. The word conversation means conduct, our way of life, our lifestyle, our manner of living. And the Bible gives us a whole list of sins. If we commit, the Bible tells us that you have no part in the kingdom of God. And therefore we have to be really circumspect and we have to really examine our lives to know if we are truly in the Lord. Our conversation, our conduct, our lifestyle. There was a pastor who said this: only what we have wrought into our character during life can we take with us. And the highest reward for a man's toil, it's not what he gets for it, but rather what he becomes by it. Our lives, our testimony, the way we live, the way we treat the people around us, this is what matters to the Lord at the end. And this is what he means when he says, we are to live a life of consecration in godliness. The life of holiness is a life of separation from sin. We know that sin destroys. You know the consequences of sin. There's no escape from its consequences. And we don't want to be there, facing those consequences. Have you done anything wrong? Well, if we have done something wrong, then our conscience would tell us, will give us no peace until we surrender ourselves, until we repent. Did the Lord give us that heart of repentance? The life of godliness is a life of piety, devoted towards God, in reverence of God, in obedience to the word of God. Well, such a life will be pleasing to God. That's why the Apostle Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 9 and 10. I will just read to you. Wherefore we labor, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. We have been redeemed from the filth of sin when we receive Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. But we realize that we are in this flesh, and that we can fall, and that is that tug of war that is within us, where we have to be actively living the life in the Spirit that is able to overcome sin, overcome the lusts of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. God has already given us that victory, that power to overcome. Let us not go back to our addiction. The drug addict would tell us how difficult it is to be released from the addiction. But having been released from the addiction and know what life is like before, why would we want to live that old life again? And so we are urged to live this life of godliness and holiness. And you may ask, how do we do that? Well, we have been studying the book of Proverbs over the last 1 year. And the book of Proverbs is the book for practical living. How we can live a holy life. What are the things that we ought to watch out for? What are the pitfalls in life? Well, we are now at chapter 23. And we have gone from prophet to prophet as we studied precept upon precept, line upon line. And I urge you to do that. Read it. Not only are we to live a life of godliness and holiness, but we are to be living a life of action for the Lord. And that's verse 12. Looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God. We ought not to be afraid of the coming day of God. We ought to love the appearing of our Lord. And Peter wants us to know that the hope that we have is very much linked to the way we live. This word looking for appears three times in verse 12, 13, and 14. It is an attitude of expectancy. Peter is picturing, helping us to picture in our mind continually to turn to these events of the future while we endure the pressures of the evil that is around us, to keep looking to that day that will come when living in expectancy of that day. So there is that attitude of expectancy, looking for. And the next word is hastening. The word means to hurry, to make haste, to be eager for, to earnestly desire. The expectant attitude. And is reflected by a sense of urgency to the matter at hand. So we haven't been convicted, having consecrated our lives, then we ought to be living our lives with that urgency for the coming kingdom. And our Lord Jesus taught us to pray, "Thy kingdom come." This petition is a petition not to advance the kingdom of man on earth, but to usher an entrance for the unsaved into the everlasting kingdom of God. We must be up and about the work of God. It is a petition that God will rule in the hearts of the unsaved, and that they will be touched by God's law, and that it will be turned to God. And God wants to use you as his instruments. And how can you do so except when you are living a life of consecration and holiness? You become like a magnet. People would look at your life and say, "I want to live such a life," because God's power flows through such a life. You can see the peace and the joy that comes in the life of a living Christian. So Peter is concerned with the works that we do that count for eternity, this life that we have before us. We may have lived a large part of our lives, but there is this life that is ahead of us that God wants us to use profitably. The Christian's woe, verse 10. The Christian's work, verse 11 and 12. And finally, the Christian's wealth. "Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness." The original text, the phrase "new heavens and new earth" is placed at the forefront of the sentence to provide the emphasis. This is the Christian's future, the new heaven and the new earth. This is the new and better country that Abraham was looking for by faith. The Bible tells us he looked for a city whose foundation and builder and maker is God. Well, this all died by faith. In faith, not receiving the promises, but have seen them afar off. But we are to live like Abraham too, by faith. To know that there is a reward that is coming, that God will give to us. And Peter is reminding us, he called the Christians strangers. This world is not our home. And Peter is ushering us through the gates of the heavenly city of God and telling us that that day is going to come, that day will come. Live in the light of that day. Turn with me to Revelation chapter 21 as we conclude. Let us look at that better country and fix our sight in this eternal home. Revelation chapter 21. "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, 'Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. And God himself shall be with them and be their God.'" This is the place wherein dwelleth righteousness. "And God shall wipe away all tears from our eyes, from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, 'Behold, I make all things new.' And he saith unto me, 'Write, for these words are true and faithful.' And he said unto me, it is done. I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. May this be our testimony. Verse 8, the fearful, unbelieving, and the abominable, murderers, whoremongers, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burned with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. And verse 18, it says here, the eternal state for the Christian's heavenly treasure house, and the building of the wall of it as of jasper, and the city was pure gold, like unto clear glass. This is the believer's wealth for eternity, that would last for eternity. The Christian's woe, let us, having known the purpose, will, and plan of God for our lives, not squander it in wanton living. The Christian's work, let us serve him with all our hearts, mind, and soul, and strength. May we be transformed in the inner man into the person God wants us to be, in holiness and godly conversation. Christian's wealth, there is a reward coming. How much life do we have before the curtain of our life closes? We cannot tell. But we can be prepared. We can be preparing now to meet our God, so that the day of reckoning is not fearsome, but it will be a joyous day when we are ushered from glory into glory. May the Lord help us. Let us pray. Our most gracious, loving Heavenly Father, we thank thee for thy word that instructs us, that motivates us to live in the light of thy coming. O Lord, what a glorious day it will be when we shall see thee, thy Son, face to face. O Lord, may thou help us that we may live this life faithful, watching and praying and working till thy Son will come, when we can work no more. This I ask in Jesus' name. Amen.